Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, this is Mark Maron from the podcast WTF, and really, why are you listening to Mr. Media Radio?
This is Chat About It, the future of internet radio. Don't just listen to internet radio shows on business, sports, or politics. Chat about it.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro area, check out 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com for a real good time. Okay, so where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of the 2008 American League champions, the Tampa Bay Rays, St. Petersburg, Florida. Sports writer Peter Gallenbach is one of my heroes, a guy I want to be like in many ways when I grow up. For now, however, I'll settle for just being able to call him a friend. The major characteristic I admire about Peter is his ability to be working constantly. He's always writing a new book, always engaged in an envious research project. Actually, more than one. As a guy who also makes his living writing books, it drives me nuts. Let me give you an example. The first time Peter was on my show, he was promoting his hotly controversial first stab at fiction, Seven, the Mickey Mantle novel. But while he was setting the New York media community on fire with wild tales of the Mick getting up to bat with Joe D's gal, Marilyn Monroe, he was already at work with actor Tony Curtis on his autobiography and on A History of Brooklyn. When I had him back to talk about those books, he was chomping at the bit to talk about his George Steinbrenner biography. Well, today I thought I'd have him on to talk about prospects for the 2010 baseball season, but it happens he has another new book coming out, Growing Up NASCAR, which he wrote with Humpy Wheeler, the longtime president of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the inventor of both the All-Star Race and Night Racing. Oh, and I should probably mention, or he will, the just-released paperback editions of George, Dynasty, and Balls. Peter, my friend, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you, Art. I'm really honored by that introduction. Thank you so much.
What are friends for? But you do drive me crazy. So do I dare ask you what's new?
Sure. You're more than welcome to ask me what's new. The most exciting thing is that there is a film company that is going to make a film out of my book Miracle, which is the story about Bobby Allison.
Wow, and congratulations.
They're going to start filming in July, and I was hoping that they would let me be, a bartender or a reporter or something like that in the movie.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Is that the first movie, with all these books?
It is. That's the first movie they're actually making.
Oh, so you've had options before.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, there was an outfit that was going to make an ESPN movie of the Bronx Zoo, which was, as you know, the 1978 season of the Yankees.
Right.
They did The Bronx's Burning, which was the 1977 season, and they were all ready to do The Bronx Zoo, but apparently The Bronx's Burning didn't make them enough money, and they decided not to do the sequel.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
So I only have to get one movie made from one of my books to catch up to you in the movie department.
That's all.
All right. Well, and I'm sorry. How many books have you written at this point?
Oh, more. Oh, boy. Probably 35 or 36.
That's what I thought. I'm a little behind there. I'm a bit of a slacker. I'm only at 10.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, it's funny because, my wife thinks that I work too much, and talking to you, I tell her I always feel like I don't work hard enough. How many books are you working on right now, Peter?
Right now, I've got two proposals in the works. I'm hoping they both will sell. One of them is an oral history of baseball, and the other one is with a fellow who I met who at one point was the most successful jewelry store robber in the country. And what's interesting about him more than anything else is that after spending 11 years in federal penitentiaries, he came out and a friend of his wanted him to talk to his boy, who was about 16 years old, who was doing drugs, who was at risk. And this fellow talked to him, showed him pictures of his friends who had died in jail, told him stories of rapes and you know, near murders and just, you know, what it was really like to be in a federal prison. And about 2 weeks later, the dad called him up and said, I don't know what you're going to do with the rest of your life, but you really have to talk to kids. And he started, you can look it up on the internet, it's called the Reality Check Program. His name is Larry Lawton. And 90%, the judges now send these at-risk kids to him and to his program. And they did a survey, 90% of the kids he talks to never get in trouble again.
Wow.
It's a terrific
story. I don't know about anybody else, but all I need to hear is about one sentence about what prison life is like, and it's enough to convince me to stay scared straight all my life.
Well, it's funny because they have a show on TV called Lockup, which apparently all these kids love to watch for some reason. They think it makes prison romantic, you know, rather than horrifying the way it really is. And so part of what his program does is tell these kids that you know lockup it's not a reality show. It's not anywhere near what really goes on.
All right. And the producer of that show, his name is Rasha Drashkovich. He was actually one of the first guests on Mr. Media, so I'm very familiar with that. But and that was another one of those incidents where I'm convinced don't need to go to prison to find out anymore. Well, let's come off of prison, and since there aren't many jailbirds in baseball this year, let's talk baseball.
Right. I'd be happy to. Hey, who's leading the American League East?
Oh, gee, let me look. Oh, that's right. It's our team. It's the Rays. How about that?
two absolutely spectacular baseball games. Really, they look like a stupendous ball club.
It is amazing that they came off of spring training. Best record in their history, probably one of the best records in spring training history, and they brought that into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you know, if you follow it at all, what often happens is that the bad teams do really great in spring training because, you know, they try harder, I suppose. The good teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox, for instance, are always experimenting, you know, trying different guys, seeing who's going to be the number 22, 23, and 24 guys, you know, on their roster, you know, the 9 and 10 guys on their pitching staff. You know, and so their spring training records aren't particularly good, and then, of course, they go out and win 90 games. It looks to me, from everything that I can see, that the Rays are going to win 90 games this year themselves. Now, obviously, the question is whether the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to win more than 90 games.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the American League East, is 90 enough? Are the Yankees and the Red Sox started the season with each other. I think the Yankees won 2 out of 3 there. Do they look as good as they always are expected to look this year?
Oh, yeah, they do, but that's not the question. The question is going to be, come August and September, are some of those older players going to break down? That's always the question. You know, is John Lackey going to have more arm trouble? You know, and if one of those star pitchers for either of those teams goes down, you know, you saw what happened with the Yankees with Chen Ming Wang, who was a 19-game winner, hurt his arm early in the season. That was in 2008, and the Yankees never did recover.
Do the Yankees and the Red Sox – now, one of the things that people talked about in the spring with the Rays, and I'll remind people that Peter and I are both in St. Petersburg, one of the things people talked about with the Rays was that they had incredible depth going into this year. Do the Yankees and the Red Sox have that kind of depth sitting at AAA or on the bench?
I don't know. They don't have them sitting in AAA, but they certainly have it sitting on their bench. I mean, when you've got a payroll of $200 million, you better have some good people sitting on your bench. You know, they've got people like Randy Wynn sitting on the bench. That's a pretty darn good ball player for a bench.
Yeah.
But the Rays, every single player on the Rays roster is a strong ball player right now. It's really quite amazing for a team that's spending, say, $75 million compared to the Yankees $200 million or the Red Sox $150 million. Andrew Friedman has put together an absolutely spectacular ball club.
Now, the thing we're hearing a lot about, I mean, there's a lot of issues with the Rays, and I know we probably have a lot more New York fans than we do Tampa Bay fans that will be listening, but
yeah.
The thing that we hear a lot about the Rays this year is that because of their budget constraints, that they spent a lot more this year than they had planned and budgeted because they had opportunity to do so, but that if they're not in contention come, you know, July and August, they're going to gut the team.
Oh, they're not going to gut the team. They're going to decide what to do with Carl Crawford because he may well be worth $15 million for 5 years, and the Rays don't have it in the budget to give it to him. They've got a kid in AAA by the name of Desmond Jennings, who's been rated the number one kid in all of the minor leagues. And so, you know, if you can't afford Carl Crawford, you trade him off to somebody and put Jennings in that spot.
Mm.
The other, you know, one of the other players, of course, is Pena. You know, Pena's another one making $9 million a year. It remains to see whether Pena is going to hit more than 230, 240. If he doesn't hit more than that, you know, it may not be the dumbest idea to get, you know, to move him.
The last 2 days, that Rafael Soriano money didn't look so good, did it?
Oh, I disagree. I think this
really?
Is going to be terrific. I think Soriano is absolutely what they needed. In fact, last year, if you want to know the truth, in early August, when they had a chance to get the fellow who's now closing for Atlanta, boy, why can't I think of his name? He's now the Atlanta closer. The Red Sox got him to be a middle guy.
Wagner?
Yeah, Billy Wagner, exactly. I mean, I was just screaming from the rooftops for the Rays to get this guy. It would have cost maybe, I don't know, $2-2.5 million to get Wagner. And who knows, that, you know, they won, what, 84 games. They could have contended if they had had him last year.
Mm.
It was very frustrating for me and the other Rays fans, but, you know, they didn't spend the money. And so this time around, they got a horse. This guy Soriano is a good one.
Well, and he was out the first two games. He actually won the first game, although, you know, it's hard to say that he deserved the win. And he got the save on the second game, and he made us sweat both days. But
it's one of those deals with Soriano because he had been used so often last year. Joe Maddon decided he was only going to pitch him 4 or 5 times during spring training, and so he's one of these guys. You know, after another 5 or 6 games, it's going to take him to get his rhythm. He didn't quite have it. He was just missing on the corners in some of the pitches. And, you know, the run he gave up yesterday was a ball that Crawford missed by about 6 inches from catching the first guy up. If he had caught it, nobody would have scored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact is they won the two games, and nobody should complain.
Well, Peter, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll come right back. This is Bob Andelman. You're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with sports writer Peter Gollenbach, and we'll be right back.
I'm Mark Sanchez with a message for women. This is the actual sound of my heartbeat. I'm sharing my heart to let you know that the symptoms of women's heart attacks can be different from men's. Please learn more. All it takes is a few minutes of your time in return for years of healthy life. That's a deal even my agent couldn't negotiate. Cover your heart. Learn more. CBS Cares.
The new free CBS Radio app streams your favorite CBS radio stations, as well as all your favorite AOL and Yahoo Music stations, directly to your iPhone, iPod Touch, and BlackBerry Bold. With 30 genres of professionally programmed stations at your fingertips, you can hear whatever you want, whenever you want. Stations like K-Rock, 1010 Winds, WFAN, AMP, and over 600 others. Now you can easily take your favorite stations with you on the go. The CBS Radio app is everything you wanted from streaming radio and a whole lot more. Go to cbsradio.com/mobile to download your app today.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
Four. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
Three. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
Two. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the one in aid in your life that needs help?
One. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Chat About It, politics, business, sports, and entertainment. When it's time to chat, go to chataboutit.com.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with sports writer Peter Gollenbach. Peter, you are today at least, you are a St. Petersburger, like myself, who writes an awful lot of books about the hated Yankees. What's up with that?
Well, I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut, which was down the New York, New Haven, and Hartford Railroad from Grand Central Station, and of course we'd get on the subway and go up to Yankee Stadium. Yankees were my team. When I was a kid, almost every year they won a pennant and very often a world championship. And so after graduating from law school, I wanted to write a book about those Yankees. And I was very fortunate. I was working for Prentice Hall as an attorney, and I walked downstairs and talked myself into a book contract to write a book on Casey Stengel's Yankees. And that was the start of my career.
You know, I got to ask you something about the Steinbrenner book, and then I want to move on and talk about the about growing up NASCAR.
Sure.
Did you get much feedback, pro or con, from Steinbrenner's people or people at the Yankees? Did they have strong feelings about that book?
I that's an interesting question. I've gotten no feedback from it whatsoever. And the reason for that, of course, is that George George is non compos mentis. And so he's not really in a position to scream and, you know, scream and yell about it. And, you know, what I'm saying is that the Yankees are probably better off with the two sons running the team because they're not, you know, megalomaniacal. They're not as narcissistic as George was. And they have, you know, wonderful people running the Yankees. Brian Cashman and Gene Michael and so forth, and they're letting their experts run the team, and they're actually much better off as a result.
Okay. I was just kind of curious. Now, George, and George is the name of the George Steinbrenner biography, if
the
people want to go out and buy it, I hope they will.
Built the Yankee Empire, yeah.
And right, I'm sorry. And how is that different, and writing that, how is it different in approach to an autobiography as you did helping Humpy Wheeler write Growing Up NASCAR?
Well, when you do an autobiography, that's basically the person's story. It's more like a memoir. You know, Humpy, it's I did this, I did that, I said this, I said that. When you're doing a biography, you're interviewing, you know, 50, 60, 70 people. And I interviewed George. I started this book back in 1980. I interviewed George for a couple hours as well. And it's just taking, you know, a great deal more information. It's certainly a more rounded book because there, you know, so many more voices in it. It's a bigger, harder job when you do a biography as opposed to doing a memoir.
And tell folks about Humpy for people who are not maybe, you know, they don't know NASCAR and now. Why is he? What makes him such an interesting guy?
Well, he's a brilliant man for one. And an incredibly smart guy. He loves the sport. He is also a very honest guy. He was always trying to do things to make the sport more competitive, more interesting. His complaint now is that there's not enough passing in the sport. There's not enough passing and not enough, you know, real bumper-to-bumper competition the way there used to be. Part of it, of course, is that they now have, you know, mostly super speedways, and you've got restrictor plates, and it's much harder to pass than it used to be. But Humpy would love to put together rules where you get points if you pass somebody and then if you get passed back. He's got a lot of very, very interesting things to say, beside the fact that he knew everybody. He's got stories about Dale Earnhardt and Bobby Allison and Rick Hendrick and Jeff Gordon. He knew them all. He just absolutely knew them all. And when people needed help or advice, they would come to him.
Hmm.
He was the smartest guy, on the circuit. And, of
like
course, you know, from his seat as president of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, he had a great vantage point from which he saw everything. And as you said before, he was the guy who invented the All-Star Race, and he came up with the idea for night racing.
And how did you guys connect to do this?
I was sitting at my desk one day, and the phone rings, and I pick it up. And he says, "Hi, Peter, this is Humpy. Will you do my book?" And I said, "Of course." And he hung up. That was it.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
I got to get my phone number around. That story.
I had been writing about NASCAR since 1992 with my first book, which was American Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
The same way I've been interviewing, hundreds of baseball players for books like Bums and Dynasty and Wrigleyville and Fenway. I'd also been interviewing the old-time stock car drivers for American Zoom, Last Lap, NASCAR Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful because it saves their memories. You know, quite a few of these people have passed away, since then. And it's part of the history of the sport.
Have you always had the racing bug?
The racing bug? No, that was also one day an agent called me up on the phone and said, how would you like to do a book on NASCAR? And I said, how much will it pay? And he gave me a number, and I was so struck by the number, I said, of course I would. And it was interesting because when I started out, I knew nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very fortunate. I met a fellow by the name of Tom Cotter, who was a PR guy from New York. And Cotter saw what I was trying to do, and basically he provided me with the telephone numbers of anybody I wanted to interview. And I started with Richard Petty. And American Zoom, I think right now, is the number one best-selling stock car book going.
Wow. And people who don't know, I mean, it's interesting. There are Yankee fans who know that you have written a lot of Yankee books. There are racing fans who know you for those books. But
right.
You've also done, and I don't have it right in front of me, but there's a University of Florida book, isn't there?
Yeah,
and,
Go Gators, yeah.
Yeah, there's the hockey book you mentioned before.
Well, I did a book with Phil Esposito, Thunder and
right?
Lightning. That was about hockey. Yeah, I Cowboys Have Always Been My Heroes was an oral history of the Dallas Cowboys.
Do you kind of feel like you could write about just about anything?
Well, I've always had the feeling that, sports is like anything else. Obviously it has its own people and own, its own sort of aura. But I try to write about it, not that it's sports, but that it's about people who are playing the sports.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make these books as personal as I can possibly make them.
Now, I thought, I don't know if this wound up being the case, are you at Ferg's tonight or are you at home?
No, I'm at home.
Oh, okay.
I'm at home.
I was going to ask if you wanted to give a shout-out to Mark Ferguson tonight,
no,
but if you're not there.
Yeah, I'm at home. Tonight I'm at home.
Okay.
Yeah, also, for the Yankee fans, my book Dynasty, which I spoke about before, which was my very first book, about a year ago, I found the original first 150 pages the way I wrote it. When I first wrote it, it was 1,000 pages, and they cut it in half.
Hmm.
And I found the first 150 pages the way I wrote it, with interviews with Joe Page and Tommy Henrick. Some fabulous stuff, and Dover Press has agreed to publish a new version of Dynasty with the original 150 pages. I'm really excited about that, and the book has just come out, So for you Yankee fans who want, you know, if you haven't read Dynasty, I think you'll enjoy it very much.
Great. Well, folks, listen, you can find Peter Gallenbach's newest book, The Autobiography of Humpy Wheeler, Growing Up NASCAR, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it online at MRMedia, MrMedia.com. You can also learn more about Peter's incredible body of work at his blog, which is at theplayerspoint.com, or on his website, GallenbachBooks.com. Peter, can people find you on Twitter or Facebook?
You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I don't Twitter very much. It's probably a mistake on my part, but you certainly can find me on Facebook. That's absolutely so, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Very good. Well, Peter, thank you as a friend and as a very talented writer. Thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It meant a lot to me.
It's a real pleasure, Bob. I always enjoy talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
And folks, for more original sports-related interviews, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Olympians Brandi Chastain and Kerry Strug, sports writers Harvey Frommer and Pete Williams, and many more. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com, and you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. That's www.twitter.com/andelman or www.facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you sharing a little piece of your day and hanging out with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Patrick Fischler. I've appeared on TV shows such as Mad Men, Lost, and Weeds. I actually have a real career. So what the heck am I doing on Mr. Media Radio with Bob Andelman? Somebody get my agent on the phone right now!